Good evening. It's 7 p.m. on Monday night. That means it's game time for the Marriage Fable with your host, Eric.
And Fred, it's a show that tackles the issues that rival the modern day marriage.
Together, we're going to take the field with a game plan that will give teen marriage the win. So let's get ready for the kickoff on the Marriage Fable.
Hello, 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 everyone. Good afternoon. Good evening. Yes, this is the Marriage Playbook with Coaches Eric and Fran here on the Marriage Playbook. Remember, you guys, we are still celebrating February, the month of love. Yes, we are celebrating love, love, love. Season 8, Game 3, Love on Display. And as you know, last week we had a phenomenal couple. That was the Colemans. I'm telling you, if you were able to tune in, listen to that phenomenal testimony and that story. Listen, we got couple on tonight. I'm telling you, phenomenal. It's going to be overwhelmingly blessing. So listen, you guys, we need you to call in 646-668-8485, 646-668-8485. Yes, this is the Marriage Playbook. Go like us on Facebook. We're on all social media sites. Go on and look at some of the old or previous broadcasts. You can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/TJC Media. Listen, today we have a guest, and they are phenomenal. We have Mr. and Mrs. Coward. Eric Harrison, aren't you excited to have them on today?
Yeah, this is Coach Eric on the Marriage Playbook, Season 8, Game 3, Love on Display. This is still Couples Month because it's February. We're on our third couple, and we got a dynamic couple, some people of God from out west. So we're bringing out west, bringing them back east to us, to the Marriage Playbook. We got the Coward, Elaine and Johnny Coward. I believe they're out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'm telling you, I'm meeting them really for the first time. When we come on the air, what we're going to do, we're going to read their bio. We're going to get into the show. We're still talking about love on display. Because as we know, marriage is the snapshot of the church. It's what we should be looking at, what we should be exemplifying when we see a married couple. Okay, it's the relationship that Christ has with his church and his reciprocated love back to Christ. Okay, that's what we should see when we look at the family dynamic. Okay, and that's what we're going to talk about. Okay, Coach Fran.
All right, so look, we're going to take a quick commercial time out, and we'll be back to get the show started. Amen? Come on, Coach Eric, take us there.
The Harrison Wedding Consultants have been servicing the Delaware Valley for over 20 years with the finest chefs, great venues, and pastries. The Harrison Wedding Consultants are prepared to service your every event. Contact us at 267-884-9472 or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. The Harrison Wedding Consultants, quality you can trust.
This is Dr. Joanne Dixon, pastor of the Living Word Evangelistic Missionary Church at 2234 North Front Street here in Philadelphia. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. for Sunday school and at 11 a.m. for morning worship. Prayer and Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can follow us on Facebook or dial 267-314-5220. We are a loving church and a learning church, which make us a growing church. God bless you.
Greetings, everyone. This is Erica Burnett, CEO and creative designer of A Single Suggestion, a business that specializes in handcrafted stationery. Visit our website at www.asinglesuggestion.com to see what we have to offer. Our email address is info@asinglesuggestion.com. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Pay us a visit to compliment your success at the hand of creative design.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic. Okay, so look, guys, we want to read this wonderful, wonderful bio. We ask all of our guests to send us something over so you can kind of get an idea of who they are. So let me start here. And it says, Mr. and Miss Johnny Court met in 2013. Johnny, the full-time father of six children, Elaine helping her parents as health and age took their toll on their lives. He in Tulsa, Oklahoma, she in Dallas area. Johnny began pursuing Elaine after watching her God-inspiring daily post on Facebook. Facebook is good. Facebook is good. After over 800 hours in phone conversations, wow, and Skype visits, they met in person. 2 months later, married on Valentine's Day, 2014, in honor of Elaine's father's birthday. Both Mr. and Ms. Coward were raised in the Southern Protestant religions. However, they soon realized this was not where God wanted them. Studying with several pastors in the East Texas area, with a bit of Holiness Church included, they joined the evangelical movement. Their ministry began as worship ministers, ministers leading a small congregation in worship each week. As parents in a blended family of 10, they worked together teaching godly principles to the children in today's ever-changing culture. Oh, my goodness. This bio brought tears to my eyes, and it brought tears to my eyes for several reasons. I mean, one of them was how they met. You know, social media is not bad. It's how we use social media. And I do believe that the Lord has orchestrated social media to be in the place where we can minister and it can be a blessing. And it brought together a wonderful couple here. And then the family dynamic. Oh, my goodness. Listen, I'm going to get off here and let Coach Eric get started so we can bring our guests on.
Oh, yeah, we're excited, but we got to bring these guys on. Okay, so I want to introduce to our listening audience our friends, our new friends. That's Elaine and Johnny Coward. You guys there?
We're here.
We're here.
It's certainly a pleasure to have you. And thank you for being on the Marriage Playbook with Coach Eric and France.
Thank you for having me. We've been really looking forward to it.
I was listening to your bio, and I was really excited by it. I really was. You know, interesting way you guys met. You know, Facebook, you know, is good, but it sounds like your courtship was like a modern courtship, but it had an old-fashioned style to it. Can y'all speak to that?
Yes, I'll go and relate to that. We originally graduated from high school together in Sherman, Texas.
Oh.
And we, however, because of religion and our paths in school, we never crossed paths for 4 years of high school. So there's some differences too, but when I got to know Elaine over Facebook, we had roughly 43 mutual friends from high school.
Wow.
And
okay.
Normally the class of 81 was like, no, this isn't going to work. So, but I started following her post on Facebook and called one day. She asked for a prayer request for her mother having a pacemaker inserted, and I texted her and said, "May I call and pray with you after I stepped out of worship?" So that was our introduction, and we just started spending time together and Skyping and Facebook, coming out of two 29-year marriages that were of our own choosing and own making, God stepped in and said, "Let me show you what I can do." So we had unnegotiable lists that we didn't tell each other about that we brought to the table. So those things, when there was a question, I noticed right away Lane would answer it with scripture, and he's like, "Well, that, you know, I don't have to flip through. I know the word of God's hidden in my heart." So it's like,
right.
Man, she's spot on. So we lost count after 800 hours spending on the phone conversing
wow.
with each other. So it was phenomenal because there were non-negotiable things. We had to worship together. We had to sing together. Neither one of us be smokers. There were things that we didn't reveal to each other. We had the same
right.
list, and we didn't tell each other. So it was a wonderful thing. And God, the way he fashioned us coming together, our first marriages were of our own making, and we were not equally yoked. Well, God showed us what it meant to be equally yoked. And I'll let Elaine relate at this point.
Okay. I can't wait to hear this.
Yes, well, I was, like I said, in North Texas. He was in Tulsa. And every other woman he had even remotely tried to become interested in when they would find out he was divorced with six children would just turn around and walk away. And
right.
I was the first one, I think, that said, "Oh, I love children." And then I said, "Wait a minute. I don't want to know anything about any of the children, names, ages, nothing, because I do love children. I will fall in love with them, and then I will feel like I'm obligated to love you because of the children,
you.
And I don't want that kind of relationship." And so he agreed, and he didn't tell me anything about it. So when they came right around Christmas time to meet us, me and my sons, for the first time, I had to scurry quickly and get gifts for people I didn't know anything about. Okay, tell me the names of the kids, their ages.
How'd you do with that?
That actually worked very well. I took my sons with me who are currently, my oldest son is 31 and my youngest is 28. So we all went shopping together, and they helped me pick out things, and it worked out great. It really did, and we all got along so well. And so we ended up getting married on Valentine's Day, and we found out the state of Texas requires 72 hours waiting period between the time you get your marriage license before you can file it. We didn't know that. So he was leaving the next day. So we had to wait until March when they came down for spring break to actually go file the paperwork. So we have two anniversaries.
Wow.
February 14th when the pastor married us, and then March 18th when we filed it with the state.
Oh, wow. What a wonderful, wonderful story. Let me tell you, you guys tickle me pink. And one of the things I want to ask you guys is when the children met for the first time, because I know that's kind of difficult, too, when you're bringing in a blended family. I know Eric and I both experienced that, and we want to know what was your experience with the children.
Well, my sons are both prophetic, and I also walk in the prophetic. So my youngest son had a dream probably 2 years before this of a Christmas tree with seven bicycles underneath it. And when he met the children, he looked at me and he said, "It's the dream. Six
wow.
children plus Johnny, that's seven. That's the seven gifts that we're getting for Christmas." And he said, "This is it. This is what God showed me in my dream." And so I really paid attention to that. And like I said, I really did not want to get remarried. Really did not want to get remarried. And so I kept saying, "Well, I just don't know if this is going to work or not." And Johnny would say, "Just give me a chance. Just give me a chance." And, he's just reminding me that besides that I am 5'9", and he's 5'5". And so there's quite a height difference there. I can look right over the top of his head everywhere we go. So I reach the things up high. He reaches the things down low. And
a man needs help. That's what God sets it up for.
Yes. And so it was like, no. Somebody who's that short, there's just no way. No way this is ever going to work out. And God said, just wait. And so through all those hours of conversing on the phone, and he would answer my questions with scripture as well. And I said, okay, I've got these tethers. You know, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade balloons
have
all those people underneath holding the tethers to hold the balloon down on the ground, so it doesn't just float away. And I said, my heart is like one of those balloons. If you can get all of my tethers, I will seriously consider this. And I thought, oh, he's never going to figure this out. And every time, and I had this list of things in my head, every time he would say something that hit one of those, I would just go, you got another one of my tethers. What am I going to do? I even told my mom. She's like, are you going to marry this guy? I said, no, there's no way. And then 2 months later, we got married because he got all my tethers, and the Lord told me go. And so I did.
See, this is an illustration of how when God is in it, it's always right when God is in it. Now, Johnny, Brother Johnny, first of all, I want to say to both of you, because we know that this show is airing live on Monday, but we are pre-recorded.
Yes.
And today is Valentine's Day, so officially we can say happy anniversary to you.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah, exactly. It's 5.1. That's what we call it, 5.1 and 5.2. Most guys can't remember
5.2.
One anniversary. I get two to remember,
yeah,
and I celebrate them all.
Y'all get to celebrate them all.
Yes, sir. So, God is so good. I'm telling you, I am humbled by how when you allow God to rule over you, rule in your heart, and allow Him and with anything, He lets us test Him, and He bring it. Let me show you what I will do. That's what He said about our tithe. And He says that we can test every spirit, as we should in 1 John 4. But, reflective of what you said early in the program, we base our marriage off Ephesians 5 and 21 through 33. And it's just an incredible thing, and I'm just overwhelmed by the things of God.
You know, I know that feeling. Eric and I both, and I was laughing when Elaine was talking because I said the same thing. I was like, no, I'm not marrying him. He's not my husband. Why does everybody keep saying that? You know, and he would say the same thing. And one of the things Eric didn't say in his testimony on when we had the interview, we interviewed ourselves first, that Eric actually was a eunuch. His mind was set that he was never going to ever get married again. He had his life set up to serve God for the rest of his life. But the Lord had other plans.
Amen.
And so when I talked to Eric, it was never a relationship kind of thing. It was just always a brother and sister. And I understood that, so I never looked at him to get married because I knew he was, and I respected his position of being a eunuch for the rest of his life and serving God. And so I never looked at him. So when the Lord revealed that, I was tickled. I was so tickled. And even sometimes now I think about it, and I'm tickled about it now. And so same thing with you guys. I love how God ordained and orchestrate things. Because even with this show, we could have got so many couples, but when you stay before God and ask what do He want, you know, how He wants things done, and He had chose you, these different couples specifically, you guys, all your testimonies are lining up to what each couple had said the week before. So I'm just so grateful to have you on. Listen, we want to ask you some more questions and get some more into this and to the children and what the Lord is
Certainly.
Doing now. Listen, we're going to do that as soon as we come back with a commercial timeout, okay?
Wonderful.
We'll be right back.
This is Dr. Joanne Dixon, pastor of the Living Word Evangelistic Missionary Church at 2234 North Front Street here in Philadelphia. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. for Sunday school and at 11 a.m. for morning worship. Prayer and Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can follow us on Facebook or dial 267-314-5220. We are a loving church and a learning church, which make us a growing church. God bless you.
It shouldn't be as hard to find a graphic designer with great customer skills. Over 20 years of experience at an affordable price. Accent On Design by Luz offers you personable service with great attention to detail. Find me on Facebook at Accent On Design by Luz. Email aodbyluz@gmail.com or call 267-753-5936. If you can imagine it, I can help you create it.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic.
All right, we're back with Season 8, Game 3 of the Marriage Playbook with Coach Eric and Fran. Love on display. We got the cohorts online, and I just was riveted by the way God put them together and how we knew it was God. The plan of God is in action, and they sound so blessed. I'm telling you, I feel in my spirit I want to go hug these guys. I want to go worship with them. I want to praise God with them. That's how I feel right now, you know. So I'm glad I met them, and we're going to bring them right back in. All right, Elaine, I got a question for you.
Yes,
I was
sir.
Listening to your bio, and I understand that you were taking care or are taking care of your parents. And I experienced that about 3 years ago. My mother got ill, and she was up in age. And I had to drive up and down the highway to make sure she was okay. And we were almost like caregivers for a time, so I kind of can relate to that. So if you can speak for a moment about that.
Well, my mom, my father was diagnosed with dementia in 2012 and went into nursing care, I believe it was in he was diagnosed in 2011. He went into nursing care in 2012. And so I would go up there and visit him really often. And even past the point when one day I went in and he looked at me and he says, "I'm sorry, I don't know you." And I said, "That's okay, I just came to check on you." And he said, "Well, good." And he just started singing a song from church and kind of zoned out in his own little world. And I was just like, "Oh, my daddy's gone." And so I had prepared way before he passed. He passed in November of 2014, so Johnny was able to meet him, even though my father was not in his right mind at all. They would have gotten along so well. I was so saddened because he died with dementia, so he literally shriveled up in a little ball and died. And so then my mom was diagnosed with dementia, and she actually went into care. Let me see. She fell and broke her back. She got a compression fracture in her back. And that was in May of 2013. She had a really bad year, 2013. And so it took her to the hospital. She was in the hospital for a week. She came home. She's in a lot of pain. She overdosed on her meds, and I actually caught her. They said if I had waited one more hour, she would have been gone. And she'd overdosed on her meds, and I got her to the hospital. And it took them 2 weeks to get her all her metabolites and salts and everything back in order. And she was hallucinating. She'd call me in the middle of the night and tell me all kinds of crazy stuff. And then I moved her to senior apartments that were really nice. She always said, if anything ever happens and I have to go to apartment, that's where I want to go. And I took her there, but she was mad because she didn't want to be there. She didn't think she was ready for that yet.
Yep.
Yes. While I was there, I got her, she would not take her medications. So I went over to the assisted living side, and I was going to sign her up for them to deliver her meds to her every day so she would take them. And they hired me. The lady who owned the office knew my parents, and she hired me as an administrative assistant. So I was there as an administrative assistant for 8 months while my mother was at those apartments. So I got to see her every day. And then in July of that year, she went out to lunch with some of her friends, and she fell down steps and shattered her hip. It shattered her hip and broke her thigh bone. So she had to have surgery again to rebuild her hip and to put a rod in her leg. And then she had to go into nursing care because the doctor said if that breaks again, we're going to have to amputate her leg because there's nothing we can do to fix that. So we got her into nursing care, and she was even madder at me. But she still was losing more and more of her memory. So it was a real struggle because of the memory loss. Got her through that, and then in November, and this is when Johnny and I met, she had three heart attacks, or VTACs. That's the lower chambers of the heart, not the whole heart, just the lower chambers. She had three VTACs, and they took her to the hospital and put the pacemaker in. And so that's when, like I said, that's when he called me the first time when we started speaking to each other in person, because I'd only seen a few posts here and there on Facebook previous to that. So then after that, she pretty much stayed in nursing care. We got married in February. Then through some pastors that we knew over here in East Texas, they convinced us to move down in this area, which it took us about a year to get things going, and we've been down here 2 years. So we're actually in East Texas, so in Longview. So I brought Mom down here with us to Longview, and then in the nursing home here, her pacemaker stopped working. A 5-year-old pacemaker, and it quit working, and they said they were just shocked. They didn't think that's what the problem was, but it quit working long enough that when they were taking her in to put the new pacemaker in, she had a heart attack. And there was just no recovery from that. So she just took about 2 weeks from that point on and went down over 2 weeks and finally passed. So she passed this last November. So that was a real, real struggle with me.
You know.
Because, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, Elaine. Keep talking. I'm sorry.
Well, I have an older brother, 5 years older than myself, but he lives in Denver. So he was not able either time because of work. And I think the first time he and his wife were on their 30th honeymoon in Mexico. So I didn't get help really with the funerals either time. So it was quite stressful for me to have to deal with all the funeral preparations and everything for both of my parents. So that's what I was dealing with while Johnny and I were getting to know each other and right after we got married and everything. So,
you know, Elaine, what I was going to say and do, forgive me for cutting in,
No problem.
To say this, that I want you to minister even now about your transition with all of that and the process to those who are caring for their parents, caring for their loved ones, maybe even caring for a husband, because I think every testimony and everything that's being said is always for a purpose. And so I want even now you to share how God helped you through that process, and even to be an encouragement to those who may be going through that right now.
Oh, yes. I'll do my best here. My parents both had dementia, and I believe that they both actually had Alzheimer's as well, although my dad never got violent, my mother did. But as soon as they were diagnosed with these basically it's a brain issue. When they were diagnosed with these issues, I started saying goodbye right then because I knew that as time went on, at some point they would no longer remember me if they survived that long. And like I said, my father did. He survived to the point that he did not remember me any longer. And it didn't break my heart. It hurt, but it didn't break my heart because my heart had already broken. I had already released him from that relationship, if I know how to explain that at all. He's still my father and still loved him just extraordinarily because I was a daddy's girl. But I had already come to terms with the fact that he was going to be leaving this body and this earth. And I was also comforted in the fact that he was a very strong Christian and I would see him again.
Right.
And so I just kept focusing on that. And every time I would see him, as long as he remembered me, I spent time with him. We had fun. I would try to help him with things, and we would laugh about things and because he had a great sense of humor. And up until he could no longer speak and then didn't recognize me. But like I said, because of the fact that I had already released him
and that God had already given me those reassurances that we will see each other again. So I just told him, you know, this is not goodbye, it's adieu. I will see you again. As far as my mother goes, Mom and I butted heads all the time. I loved her dearly, and I still do. But she was really, we were not on the best of terms, but I was there for her, and she knew it up until the very last day that she was alert. And we held hands a lot, and she told me she loved me, and I told her I loved her, and I said, I'll see you again. It's just a matter of coming to terms with it, allowing the Lord to lead you in the direction you wanted to go. I was never never going, oh, you never treated me right. You know, I didn't do any of those kinds of things at all. Never blaming, never condemning. It was always, you know, how can I help you today? Do you need anything? Do I need to go buy you some lotion or makeup or hairspray? Or, you know, every time I'd go see her in the nursing home, what can I do for you today? Do you need something? And so I just did my very best to be supportive to her and the kind of daughter that I would want to have if I was in that situation.
Right. That's right. You know, Elaine, that is really, really encouraging. And I thank God for even in those moments, that's when God wraps his arms around us and really comforts us. And he also, like you said, give us the strategy or the technique how to deal with things.
Yes.
Because we've seen people suffer with that and parents have gone home to be with the Lord. And it still hurts, but just to know how the Lord is just there to strengthen you through it all. And so know that our love and our prayers are still with you and your family. Mm-hmm. Because
you.
I remember when she had passed away and when we were praying for her and everything.
Yes, ma'am.
In the women's group and stuff. So we thank God
I
for
so
you.
I so appreciate that.
Thank God for your love.
Thank you.
God for how you cared for her with everything within you. And then it was no animosity. There was no regrets. There was no, you know, it was none of that stuff going on. And that also helps too. So we thank God for you. And listen, we thank God for your wonderful husband, because even in that, God will send someone. And who would have known that it was going to be your husband and you were going to get married and all of that good stuff. I know he can't replace Mom, but I know that was another part of joy that God added to your life. So we're going to continue to talk about this thing, Coach Eric.
Yeah, we as Christians, as saints of God, we have to appreciate the time that God allots that we can be with our parents, you know, and the time that we had with them. I heard in your bio that you guys probably graduated around 1981. And if that's true, we're somewhere around the same age. I graduated in 1982. And just last week, I was on Facebook talking to my classmates. And we were seeing how when you hit the 50-year mark, you start losing your parents, you know. Everybody you probably know from high school is at that place where they're either taking care of their parents or their parents are going on to be with the Lord. And we noticed how, because I came from a really big class. There's almost 800 people in the class that graduated that year. And it was a big school I went to. And everybody in Facebook was either taking care of their parents or their parents were going on to be with the Lord. You know, so we realized that and we started comforting one another and praying for even on, you know, Facebook, you know, encouraging and praying for each other, because that's just part of life. And guess what? Our parents had to deal with the same thing with their parents. You know, so it's just something that happens. Which brings me to this point. Now we're going to get back to marriage, and I thank you for sharing, because I'm somebody that was listening to this was probably comforted by it or even grasped a better understanding. This is why we do this show. So our next segment deals with fine-tuning. We're going to have a little fun here because this is always the fun part of it. Fine-tuning deals with the adjustment period that you go through when you get married. Okay, now you're sharing your life with somebody. Everything's different now. You know, you got where you put your toothbrush, how you like your, you know, a little, you know what I mean? It's adjustment now. So do either one of you have a funny story to tell about the adjustment period or something that can help our listeners?
Yeah, I do, actually. I had in the house, I was living at my mother's house when they actually moved from Tulsa down into North Texas and moved to my house. because I was living in my mother's house and it was huge. And so they moved in with me. And so I had all my cosmetics and things, and I make most of my own because I do all the natural stuff. So I had all my cosmetics and things in on the bathroom shelf. And the youngest little girl at that time had just turned 6. And she found my makeup, and she dumped one makeup into the other and mixed it all up. Well, when I opened it up, it was obvious that it had been mixed because it didn't have the same texture and it wasn't the same color. And she was the only one who would have done it. And so I really had to – that was one of the adjustments, was going, okay, guys, you know, this is my stuff, that's y'all's stuff, you touch yours, not mine. And we really had to work with her on learning to not handle things. And, you know, come ask me. If you want to learn how to do this, I'm happy to show you how to do it, but you don't need to mess mine up in the meantime.
Right.
So that was one of the stories I had. I don't know about Johnny here.
Brother Johnny, it's okay to tell your story, but I want to warn you. I told her husband last week, when you're hanging the phone up, you got to live with that woman. Okay?
That's right.
So that's just a disclaimer. But you can tell your story anyway.
Well, it's like I said, there's a difference in our height. Lane's 5'9", and I am not. And she'll drop something and it's like, here, honey, let me get that for you. I'm closer to the ground. Well, we, recently, about half a year ago, we installed dining room cabinets. And I come, we have them in place for about a week or two, and then I'm looking for the cereal. Well, lo and behold, but up high, out of my reach, is the cereal up on the top cabinet. And it's like, I'm looking down at the stool, I'm looking up the cereal, and she's like, would you like me to get that for you? Please and thank you, dear. So, but that's the way we roll. It's people will look at us as like, you know, what does she see in this guy? Well, it's a God thing, let me tell you, because David.
It's definitely a God thing.
You know, I go back to King David every time, and a man of God. Scripture says that King David was a run of the. He was not what you would expect, but
right.
I say this, that God will use the most ordinary person to do the most extraordinary things, and King David, a man after God's own heart. And that's where we have to come from as husbands or in a relationship. That's what we have to – when I pursued Elaine, and I had to take on the giant. And it was not an easy task. But, you know, I said – you know, she said, you're short. And I said, just give me a chance. So it's like, please – you know, but, you know, I grovel at your feet. I told her, I will not worship you, but I adore you. Because the important thing about any godly relationship is that God, as Scripture says out of Ephesians, that God, Jesus is the head of the church.
Right.
We as men must mold ourselves in that image.
That's right.
And I wanted to share that, you know, with all successful marriages, they're reflective of Ephesians 5. And verse 21 tells us, and out of respect for Christ, be courteously reverent to one another. This
right.
removes the notion of you got to go first before me.
Right.
So. It puts it on a personal – here we go with that personal relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So rightly so. So it's we have such a clear understanding. I'm right and she's always wrong. That's wrong. That's
wrong.
Not the case of our marriage. I don't like to eat crow, but I do if I have to. Humble pie. So,
right.
But anyway, it's such a wonderful thing when your marriage becomes reflective of Scripture, when you can become equally yoked. That is so important. You're not, you know,
no
you're not pulling against each other. You're not. There is no brick wall there. You come to an understanding. We are helpmates. That's the wonderful thing that Ephesians 5 reflects. And verse 22, wives, understand and support your husbands in a way that shows your support for Christ. And the husband provides the leadership to his wife the way Christ does his church, not by domineering, but by cherishing. So
yeah, I always mention that.
Yes.
Go ahead.
When we, Elaine can only be number two in my marriage because Christ is the most important thing in my life. He's number one. Our marriage will not line up with Scripture, our marriage will not line up with God if we do not put Jesus Christ first. And because you've heard how many times you heard this argument? The wife says, "You're supposed to love me like Christ loved the church," and then the husband, he throws back, "Well, how am I supposed to do that if you don't submit to me?" And that back and forth, and that's not what Ephesians 5 is saying at all. It's a relationship that is a give, our Lord Jesus, he was the greatest servant of all, but that's what he taught in any relationship that he had. Let me show you what I can do for you. Let me give. I'm giving. So we model ourselves after our Lord and Savior. We can't go wrong.
Amen. You know, Johnny, I have a list of questions here, right?
Yes, sir.
And you've been answering all the questions before I asked the questions. That's why I haven't been saying much. I've been letting you talk. This is the easiest interview I've ever made. I have to prompt you. You're answering every question I got here on the page. What? Like you're reading off the page and just answering them.
Well,
you know, so I feel foolish asking you the questions.
Oh no, don't! I'm so grateful that when we are led by the Spirit, we allow the Holy Spirit to do our talking for us, we can't go wrong. Scripture says we don't know what to pray. He'll moan for us. He'll speak the words for us, and that's what I do throughout life and in relationships. If I'm wise, if I don't know what to say, I'll keep my mouth shut. Even a foolish man, Scripture says, will look wise. So, but to save and allow at specific times, the Holy Spirit will always speak for you. You can't go wrong, and he'll tell you what to say.
That's so true. Now, I will say this. This is something, a statement I made last week to the couple I was talking to last. They were a young couple. They just got married last year.
Yes.
Okay, and what I said with them was that at some point in the marriage, we should master the art of enjoying each other's company.
Yes.
You know, we were talking about having fun in the relationship because sometimes people get caught up in, you know, providing the means for their family or even get caught up in ministry to the point where you're not enjoying each other. And it's a slippery slope there because there got to be some kind of balance in your marriage. So do you want to speak to me about balance?
Yes. Here's the key to any relationship as husband and as wife and doing ministry or doing things in life. It's okay to say no. And that's the key.
Wow.
And Elaine and I, we specifically – and we still try to adhere to this and for over 5 years to have a date night once a week to step away. And we always pray together at night, but we talk about the things of God, but we also relating to when we first met, the Lord gave me six children and in front of a judge. The judge said, I award you sole custody of the seven children, actually, at that time. And this is in front of hundreds of attorneys and hundreds of parents who are trying to fight over custody. And the Lord, that's how the Lord fights for me. The Lord, Scripture says, the Lord goes before me and God is my rear shield. He's got our back. So that's how God, he gave me these children. Now, I've raised them for a year and a half by myself before I met Elaine. Fast forwarding, I deliver FedEx. I work 12 hours a day. I still come home. And if I see, my responsibility is to be a helpmate. So I'll do the dishes. I'll take out the trash. I'll whatever. So it's very important to also communicate. So when Elaine and I, when I know she's hurting, and we step away and we talk, and then we pray about whatever the situation is, and the same with our Savior. To have a relationship, we have to spend time with each other. We don't have a relationship with our Lord and Savior if we don't get into the Word. Jesus Christ is the Word. So it's the same. Building that relationship with our wife and keeping it in line with Scripture, in line with God, it's okay to say no. I was recently, or Lane and I were both on worship team, and because of my work schedule, I had to step away. I couldn't honor God playing the keys if I didn't practice. So I had to gracefully bow out. It's okay. It's not. It's honoring God more to let someone step in. I can still worship. So, but also spending time with my wonderful wife. So, it all goes back in line. Exactly what you're saying. You have to make time. I don't have a TV on, so that's not a distraction. So.
Right.
Wow. So one of the things we want to say, because we know we talk about the balance and we talk about doing things, what are some of the things that you guys like to do for your date night? And I want you to talk to that, because sometimes people think you got to do this elaborate thing, and sometimes you may not be able to. So maybe you guys got some things that you do that you may be able to give some tips to other people who are listening, and they see that. Because when me and Coach Eric say it, it's just me and Coach Eric, but if you have other couples say the same thing or come from another perspective, they will understand that you don't have to spend a lot of money when you love each other to be with each other. You'll have those moments, but sometimes you won't. So what can we do?
Well, I'll take this one. We just choose to spend time together. And sometimes we happen to get one of the children who has to be watched for some reason or another that we'll take along with us. But normally we get to go alone for a meal. And today, that meal for Valentine's Day is going to be, it was at lunch today. We actually had our date today. And it was one of our favorite restaurants. It's not an expensive restaurant at all, but it's one that we've really been wanting to go to, and it's one that we really enjoy. And so That's really what we do. Is it's not, has less to do with what we're eating than just spending time together. That's really the main point, is spending the time together. Just us alone. Mm-hmm. And then he does buy me. He does. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
He buys me flowers every year. Nice. In November, when my mother was in surgery, he sent me flowers the next week. And so every year he remembers and sends me flowers. And it's always one of the little mugs that has a smiley face on it. So I have a set now of six smiley face mugs and I put the date on the bottom of them, and I store them together. So I have a set of six now. And he always remembers. In fact, he surprises me, because sometimes I will forget that it's that time of year and there come the flowers. So it's just little, it's little things. It's just knowing that the other person remembers you and thinks about you and does something that you would appreciate is really what it comes down to.
Yeah, and that is true. And when spouses know each other, you know the thing that they love or
yes.
the thing that's going to touch their heart, the thing that's going to encourage mm-hmm. them or make them feel better. Coach Eric and I, we're doing some cleaning out and some reconstructing at our home, and he found a – because I keep all of our movie tickets,
yes.
plane tickets – I'll keep all this stuff, right? So he was looking. He said, where's these movie tickets coming? And he didn't know that I keep all of the tickets, all
That's
of the
nice.
Subs from the time that we've ever dated. I keep all that stuff, pamphlets, if we go to a spa, if we go to – he said, what is all of this? So it's the little things, you know.
Yes.
That kind of comforts your heart and bring you close to your mate. You know, I want you to talk a little bit, too, about what you do. We had you on Precious Ruby's ministry giving us some really good wisdom and educating us on the health issues and areas of our lives. That was a phenomenal, phenomenal time, and we're going to have to bring you back to do that again. Because we only hit maybe a little bit about what we were talking about. But
yes.
hit some of that with the herbs and the body and all of that, because that's needed too. What I'm finding is a lot of couples are struggling with their spouses. One is taking care of the other one because they don't realize how important it is to take care of your health and vice versa. The things that we eat. It's all right to indulge and maybe have fun and all that kind of, but we really got to start taking care of our temple because we're leaving here
yes.
sooner than God is even calling us. And so the time and the love and all of that we should be sharing with our spouse, I know a lot of spouses are using that time to take care of their spouse.
Right. Well, I'm going to let Johnny take this one first, and then he can pass it back over to me, and I have another one to share, I think. So
sure.
He has a story, though, about when we first met.
Here's Johnny.
Yeah, as I deliver for FedEx, I have a lot of physical weight on me. I had a patella realignment in 86 in the Air Force, and my leg has always been weak. The muscle has always been weak, and as Elaine and I came together, she saw the importance of, all right, getting me back in some kind of health, and she put me on a regimen of supplements, and one is hyaluronic acid, and what it does, it rebuilds the cartilage, the muscle, the tendons, and I can state emphatically after 5 years that my leg, my knee, my muscle are better than before 86, in 1986. So in those ways, it's been incredible. My muscles and my cartilage, everything about my knee has been rebuilt because of that one specific supplement. And it's been very I'm healthier than I was when I was 25, let's put it that way. So, and I'm rolling on 56 years old. So that's just an incredible testament to what just paying attention to our body, paying attention to what our body needs, and then putting it into action and being consistent when you apply these things to your life.
So, Elaine, you know, was this because
the other one,
of some of the information that you had passed on to him at that time, or did he know, did Johnny know about
no,
the
he didn't know anything about
and
it.
Different things like that?
No, he didn't know anything about any of that stuff. He just knew he was in pain, and it was difficult for him to go around. And so he said he got out of bed like an 80-year-old man. He just... but that got, it's all repaired now because the Lord showed me that information, and I've known about it for about 15 years. And I had helped my own joints as well because at 35 years old, I was in massive pain. I'd been in Jazzercise and some other exercise programs and just completely broken my feet down. And I couldn't walk when I got out of bed. 37, I guess I was 37 years old. And I started finding out about liquid minerals and hyaluronic acid and all those things. And I rebuilt my feet using those supplements. And then the other story was one of Johnny's sons who was, 12 at the time. I was at their apartment in Tulsa. And he comes bebopping down the stairs all excited for school, and he pours a bowl of cereal and put like 6 tablespoons of sugar on this cereal. And I think my eyes got really big. And he poured milk on it, and he started eating that. And within 3 minutes, he got these big old purple circles that came underneath his eyes, and he slumped over, and he said, "I don't feel good." And I was like, that kid's on border. He's borderline diabetic. You got to get off sugar. And he immediately thought that I was this wicked stepmother who was going to take all of his sugar away from him because he was completely and totally addicted to it. And so I got rid of all the sugar in the house. I went through their pantry. This crazy woman's throwing our food out. You know, throwing stuff in the trash. I was like, no more of this, no more of this, no more of this. You cannot have sugar. You need to have protein for breakfast. And after the first, 3 months, no more purple circles. He got his energy back. No more problems. But he was, and then he started going, well, maybe she knows what she's talking about. But he still wasn't happy about it. He still sneaked sugar, but not as much.
Right.
So,
wow.
That's the other story.
Wow. So I know some of the things that you had taught us through our women's group, Precious Ruby's women's group.
Yes.
I had took some of those things and changed what I was doing, and I was just sharing with Eric this morning how good I feel in my body. I know
that's
we
wonderful.
Just came off the 30-day challenge, but it was a lot of things that we really stopped eating, a lot of things that we stopped buying, and I remember what you said about the white sugar, about sugar.
Yes.
And your intake and things like that, and so it's important that we do take care of ourselves. I want you at the end of the show, though, because we're going to get into some more questions about marriage. But at the end of the show, if you can give us just some instructions or your website or what type of things that you know that are affecting people even right now, like sugar diabetes, high blood pressure, cholesterol. These are like the main ones. And then we get medication, and then that makes it worse. And so this is really important. This is still about marriage, too, because we need to be healthy for one another to even be able to help each other and to have fun. So, look, we're going to go to a commercial timeout, and we're going to come back, and we're going to continue to talk with the co-workers. We'll be right back after this.
57 South is a user experience design and development shop located in Philadelphia. We have over 12 years of experience in the visual communication field with a long list of satisfied customers. We provide innovative solutions for existing and emerging platforms. Got a plan? Let our team of talented professionals help bring it to life. You can reach us at 215-701-3934. You can visit our website, www.57south.com. We look forward to kickstarting your next project. Thank you. Have a great day.
Magnify his name with Elder Charnell P. Blaine and Divine Purpose. For all ministry engagements, contact us at area code 267-240-0709 or email us at dpministry01@aol.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we're never too tired to give God an unconditional praise. Magnify his name.
The Harrison Wedding Consultants have been servicing the Delaware Valley for over 20 years with the finest chefs, great venues, and pastries. The Harrison Wedding Consultants are prepared to service your every event. Contact us at 267-884-9472 or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. The Harrison Wedding Consultants, quality you can trust.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic.
All right. You're still with Coach Eric and Coach Fran. Okay, this is the Marriage Playbook Season 8, Game 3, Love on Display. We got the Coworts from North Texas, and we thank God for having them on the show. We're going to go into our final segment as I bring them back. And this final segment is called Marriage and Ministry. Marriage and Ministry. Okay, to Johnny and Elaine, I'm going to pose this question, and I know you know the answer to it. But do you, as believers, see your marriage as a ministry?
Oh, yes. Yes. Because other people who are struggling can see a godly marriage and come at some point, they'll come and say, what is it that you have that I need? Because my marriage lacks that little point right there, whatever they feel that point is. And it gives you an opening to start sharing with them, well, you know, our marriage is based solely on Jesus Christ. God is the center of our marriage, not a person, God. And when we love God first and our spouse second, then it really does help that relationship to be more stable and to be more productive.
Dr. Johnny, same question.
So very much, and I've got a quote. It's author unknown, but it says a man with dreams needs a woman with a vision. Her perspective, faith, and support will change his reality. If she does not challenge you, then she's no good for you. Men who want to stay ordinary will tell you not to have expectations of them. Men who want to be great will expect you to push them, pray with them, and invest in them.
Well,
author unknown.
Said. Well said.
So, and Scripture tells us, man without vision dies. And a Proverbs 31 woman I have right before me, but that's a lifetime of. What a woman accomplishes. It's not, you know, man, and Elaine can do so much. And but we realize our position. I am a man, she is a woman. We will not take that wonderful, God-given fact away from our lives. When I was raising the six children by myself, I didn't know a thing about girls. It's like I could brush their hair back, but I'm not a mother. It's like, Lane, you got to help me. Lord, help me. I don't know a thing about it. So, Lord, but it's so vital that you base your relationship on Jesus Christ, that you're not thinking with your head, you're thinking with your heart, and it's a heart matter. And where to say in a new relationship that I will not compromise the things of Jesus Christ. I will not go to bed with someone. I will not do this. I will do not that because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you want no part of him, you'll have no part of me.
There it is.
Wow.
And there it is. Now, the Word of God, God promised to supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Now, a lot of times when people hear that scripture, they think it's talking about money. You know, but God has so many ways of supplying the needs. In your case, what you needed most was a wife.
That's correct. Now, everybody's got to have a life verse. Mine is Ephesians 3:20. now to him, God, Jesus, who can do exceedingly, abundantly, above, more than I can ask or think. That means those three words, exceedingly, abundantly, above, are action words. I have a God
right.
of action, and I
That's
needed
right.
a wife. And but the important thing for y'all to know that Elaine and I, at the same time, before we even started conversing, I told God, if I have to raise these children by myself
right.
and have only you in my life, I'm okay with that. She said the very same thing, and we only related that down the road, but that's the fact that he sustains us,
right.
and he provides for us, and he is my all in all. I needed a wife, but with Christ, he took care of my needs. And when we depend upon him alone, upon God, and we are faithful, he will give us the desires of our heart. And he knows I don't need a candy apple red Cadillac Escalade with spinner wheels. He knows I don't need that. So
right.
But he knew that my heart's desire was truly to have a wife and a godly wife. And I'll leave it at that.
That's wonderful. Listen, I want to talk to Elaine and just ask her this question too, because you kind of said it, but I want to know from a woman's perspective, how does she feel now that now you're on the other side, when we talk about being equally yoked and you know that this is who God has ordained for your life, the love or the responsibility of being a wife now, and not just a wife, but a mother to this entire family?
Well, I'm only going to say about my former marriage was that it was quite abusive. So it's taken me a while to even be able to accept the love, because I had not had that previously. And so that's something that we wake up practically every day and just go, you know, it's just wonderful to have someone you can love. And it loves you in return. And so as newlywed, and I knew I loved him, but I prayed that God would give me every day, give me more love for this man and for his children. Just keep giving me more love. I want to love them just like my very own. And every day I prayed that until my heart was full, and I really do feel that way now. But it takes effort on your part. You're not going to just immediately love someone like they're part of your soul until God puts them there. And so I asked God to put them there, and he did. And so there's one of the things to get into any marriage, any marriage. You need that, because without that God love, the agape love, the 1 Corinthians 13 love, you're never going to get past the troubles and the stormy seas and the rocks that are thrown your way without that, because you can use any excuse you want to get a divorce.
That's right.
Any excuse.
Wow.
And just walk away. And you have to say, no, I'm not going to do that, because I actually love this person the way God loves this person. And would I want to be treated like that? No. I will not let this problem drive a wedge between us.
Wow.
So
that was
I don't even
really
know if it answers your question.
Yeah, nope, it did. Because you have a lot of people who have blended families, and it's a lot of chaos going on with either the children bickering with one another, or the siblings getting between the marriage, and the husband
yeah.
and wife is bickering back and forth. I mean, we've seen all kinds of things. And I understand what you're saying, because when Eric and I got together, I have three children, and he has the one daughter, but now we say we don't, that's the thing too, we changed our language. We don't say
yeah.
your children, my children, we say our children, and that
yeah.
was the thing in our courtship. They are our children. They're our grandchildren. They're ours. And so we changed the language, and it made the children look at each other differently and how they dealt with one another. But it also, again, like you said, it was the thing of saying, Lord, I need this thing in my heart to be solid all the way across the board, where I would never mistreat who he has brought in any different than being mine, you know. And that's important, because that needs to be dealt with from the beginning of the marriage or the courtship, because if not, then you need to wait before that happens, because it's going to be a straight disaster, you know.
It is,
and
yes.
a lot of marriages end up in divorce court because of the children, or because they didn't get along, or the children know how to manipulate and come against each parent. So children aren't that very smart.
Yes, you know? We have one of those.
I think everybody does.
Everybody
we have one that's a master at that one. So we just have to, I'll just look at her and just go, oh, no, you didn't. No, you're not gonna, don't turn tears on. I am immune to tears because I'm female.
That's
right. Don't go there with me.
We know how that works.
Puppy dog eyes. No, it's not going to work on me. And so she looks at me like, you're just the meanest person ever. Well, sorry, you're not going to pull one over on me. You know, she tried to Tuesday, I think it was, she wanted to stay home from school because she had a sore throat. And I was like, drink a glass of water, get dressed. She looked at me and was like, no, I know what she wants. She wants to stay home this week because her daddy's home on vacation. And she's feeling neglected because daddy's home and she doesn't get to spend time with daddy. Too bad, baby doll. You got school and you're going.
That's my time.
Yep.
So, listen,
exactly.
It was wonderful. Listen, I wish we could just stay on the phone with you guys forever. It was truly amazing. I want everyone who's listening to know I actually met you, Elaine, on Facebook.
Yes.
Through our producer, you actually were listening to the Marriage Playbook and supporting us when we first started. Now it's almost over 2 years ago.
Yes, ma'am.
And we end up touching base on Facebook, and then you joined Precious Rubies and been such a great, tremendous supporter of that. Thank you so much just for your love. Thank you for your sisterhood. Thank you for your friendship. I feel genuine love from you, and I truly appreciate it. And listen, I don't count it, you know, or take it lightly, that when God allows someone to be a part of your life, man, that is a special thing. And so you are special to me. I just want you to know that. And I wish and pray the blessings over you and your entire family. Know that our love and prayers are with you always. But listen, I want you to tell us before we close out, where you guys fellowship at, who's your pastor, what you guys do, because if I'm not mistaken, you told me that you guys sing together.
We do. We had to step out of the worship ministry there because of Johnny's job, and it was just getting too difficult. We live an hour away from our congregation that we worship with, and so it's really difficult for us to be there early and for late practices and things like that. But we fellowship with Grace City in Longview, Texas, and our pastors, Bo Bolding and his wife, Beth, and they're just fabulously wonderful, godly people, and we absolutely adore the people there. They're just, we've never felt so invited into a group as we have there, and we just really, really appreciate it and love them all.
Wow. Listen, right quick before we leave, Elaine, tell us some remedies, some things that the people on the air can take and kind of apply, because I know I did. I went and got some things that you said. I cut out the 10 things that you said to never eat. I have not eaten those things since we had that that little class teaching that you had given us. I am not playing. I want to live so I can spend time with my husband and with my grandchildren and also effectively do what God is calling me to do. And you need to be in health. You know,
yes,
and it's things that we need to do and to restrain ourselves from and to discipline our lives so we can live a lot longer. So talk to some of that
before we close out.
Okay. Well, real quickly, I would recommend for anyone to take liquid minerals. One of the things that causes so many health problems right now in this world is a lack of nutrition. And although we need vitamins very much, minerals are a little bit more important. So I would say find a good quality liquid mineral. When you read the ingredients, do not freak out. Yes, it's going to have a little bit of arsenic in there. It's teeny, little bitty amount. Those liquid minerals that are taken from the Great Flood shale layer that's up in the mountains, those brands that are mining the minerals in the shale and then making sort of a tea out of it, those minerals are exactly the same ratio that we need to be healthy. And the heart must have this tiny little bitty amount of arsenic to survive. Too much now is a major problem. But that little tiny, tiny amount that's in there is necessary for heart function. But liquid minerals will be my number one thing. And then the next thing I would say would be a good capsule vitamin, not hard tablet and not one of the candy-coated ones, but one that's in the two-piece capsule. Any good one will do. Probiotics are very helpful because they help your gut absorb what you're taking in. And then the next thing I would recommend, for especially for illnesses, if you're suffering with any of the major illnesses like you mentioned before, diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, any of those, would be something that would be an antifungal, because those are fungal infections. Get the infection under control, get the inflammation down, and they will slowly get back into normal range on their own. So garlic, olive leaf, oregano oil, grapefruit seed extract, which is really, it's a liquid and you don't really want to use very much of it because it's super strong. Caprylic acid is a good one, but be careful because it's extremely strong as well. Caprylic acid comes from coconuts. So it's a really, really good one. One out of India is called Neem, N-E-E-M. But if you don't have a fresh one, it can make you very ill because it goes rancid really quickly. So I kind of hang away from that one until you get in the swing of things. But I recently was hit with an attack of fibromyalgia and arthritis. And I'm taking olive leaf and oregano oil along with curcumin and black pepper and my minerals and my vitamins. And coming around, I'm losing all my swelling. I've lost 18 pounds, I think, now, and down a whole size in my jeans and feeling so much better. Can actually walk upstairs again. I had gotten so bad because I was on a cookie binge for a month after my mother passed.
Wow. Thank you so much for all of that helpful information. And I'm going to get you back on the show because we're going to talk nothing but about health. And that's important, too, in the marriage. Like I said before, I hear a lot and see a lot of spouses taking care of their husbands and they're young. And it can be just simple things with changing our diet, taking the right vitamins and minerals, like you said, drinking proper water and cutting those things out that are affecting us. So I want you to come back on because I'm going to tell you now, I feel so much better. And you talked to us, I believe that was back in September or August or something like that. And so through the holidays, even though I ate, I was very mindful. And guess what else? I don't even purchase those products anymore. I don't even bring them in the house anymore. You know, so certain things I don't even bring in. And I showed I showed Coach Eric and went through the whole thing with him, and he's in total agreement. Not only that, he's been doing research on everything, and he's finding that everything you said was true. And then we're finding out some other stuff, and we're cutting those things out because those are the things that's aching us. Those are the things that's giving us the headaches. You know, pressure is so high, you can't even lift your head off the bed, you know.
Yeah.
So we want to be healthy so we can enjoy our marriages, you know, what the Lord has given us, you know. So, and the Coach Eric is saying he don't miss it.
Yeah, I mean, I actually changed my whole diet, and I cut out certain things, and I'm eating like a plant-based diet, and I gave up a lot of meats. I'm working on, I got rid of the chicken, the beef. I'm on turkey and fish now. I'm getting ready to get rid of that. You know, and I'm feeling a lot better. And, of course, I was diagnosed as a diabetic type 2.
Right.
And I haven't taken insulin in 2 months.
That's wonderful.
Because my numbers is regulated because of my diet.
Yes.
You know, so.
So I hope even today on the marriage playbook that they help. We went in a lot of directions, but it's still about marriage. It's about having fun, having healthy, serving the Lord with all of our hearts. And we are just so grateful to be on here with you guys. Listen, that's our time. Listen, Johnny and Elaine, thank you so much. And if we're ever in that part of the town, we're going to call you guys up.
This summer, actually.
Yes,
wonderful.
Eric said this summer, actually.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to call you guys. But thank you so much. Thank you. We really appreciate you being on the show.
We so enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right, so look, we'll be back with a commercial break, and we're going to get up out of here.
This is Dr. Joanne Dixon, pastor of the Living Word Evangelistic Missionary Church at 2234 North Front Street here in Philadelphia. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. for Sunday school and at 11 a.m. for morning worship. Prayer and Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can follow us on Facebook or dial 267-314-5220. We are a loving church and a learning church, which make us a growing church. God bless you.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers only to be told your themes are a bit too religious. We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction. Speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
Who you hire as your realtor matters. You need a realtor who looks out for your best interests and not their own. Marie Clark with Allison James Estates is a full-time realtor, specializing in helping first-time homebuyers in Temecula and the surrounding areas. She is also a ministry leader. Today, why don't you choose Marie Clark to buy or sell your next home? Please call 951-265-6259.
Does your business need to rank higher on the Google search engine? Do you want everything that your company touches to turn to gold? If you've answered yes to either of those questions, you need to contact Bright Media House. Generating relevant customer leads is critical to increasing sales and growing your business. By figuring out which online sales and social media marketing channel to use and how to use them can be overwhelming, especially when you have a business to run. Digital marketing is something every business owner and marketing manager needs as a part of their strategy. For more information, go to www.brightmediahouse.com or email us at info@brightmediahouse.com.
How do you avoid pitfalls that will disrupt your life? My office is very good with helping families protecting assets, building wealth, college flexible plans, tax-free retirement, and so much more. I am Jontrice Wells with World Financial Group, licensed to help million-dollar families, businesses, and everyone in between. You can contact me at 951-757-4202 or email me at jw.nofamilyleftbehind@gmail.com. I'm about your family.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic.
Okay, you guys, I hope you enjoyed the show. Oh, my goodness, with the co-workers. And we're not done. We still have one more guest or a couple that's coming up on next week. That is the Haymans, Mr. and Mrs. Hayman. And I'm telling you, they have phenomenal, phenomenal story as our other two couples have. We're still celebrating love in the month of February. This is the Marriage Playbook, Season 8, Game 3, Love on Display. So look, you guys, again, we have a phenomenal, phenomenal PJC Media family. I'm telling you, it's worldwide, worldwide, worldwide. And I'm telling you, you need to tune in. Listen, tune in on Sundays with Deborah or for Dovetails. That's Dovetails with Deborah at 2:30 p.m. I'm telling you, phenomenal, phenomenal show on Tuesday at 7 p.m. You want to tune in to Write Stuff with Parker Cole. On Fridays, Let's Talk About It with Jenny White, and that's at 8 p.m. On Saturdays, we got the Parker J. Cole Show at 2 p.m. Then right on Saturday, we got our main man, the Craig Carlisle Show, and that's at 3:30. Don't forget, we are the Marriage Playbook, and you can tune in on Mondays at 7 p.m. Listen, it's always a blessing to come and have you guys join us. We thank you for your prayers, your love. Know that we're praying for you and your family, your success of your marriage, your household, and we just thank God for you. Listen, we see you again on next Monday here, the Marriage Playbook. We out.
Well, folks, that's all the time we have left in this game.
Yeah, but the season is not over. We got more games to play.
Well, we thank you for spending your Monday evening here with us at the Marriage Playbook.
We hope we've encouraged you with some strategies that will give your marriage the win.
All right, so let's have a good week of practice, and we'll see you at game time next week on the Marriage Playbook.